Hello there, and welcome to North Shore Sports Night. It is a Monday night as we are flying through the month of September. That's all right, Coach. Just make as much noise as you want over there. That's no problem. You ever see Laurel and Hardy? Not Laurel and Hardy. Yeah, Abbott and Costello. Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, they never watched them again.
Who's on first? Anyway, okay, where are we? North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore. Tim Kearns is here. Our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and he's out there somewhere. Yeah.
In the Ethernet.
Ingram's somewhere. Ethernet. Ethernet, whatever. All right. Anyway, tonight's program is brought to you, as always, by the Sylvan Street Grill, by Honeydew Donuts, by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly North Reading and Plastow, New Hampshire, by Moore GMC of Danvers, by Harrington Trophy, by attorney Robert J. Madruga, by Gloria Food Store, by the Lynn Museum, by the Columbia Insurance Agency of Lynn, by the Porthole Restaurant, by the Lynn Auditorium, and by the Daily Item of Lynn. And item live. I almost put, well, I did say it, itemlive.com. It's itemlive.com. A little silly here. Coach, I don't know, we had a very, very busy weekend. We've covered six games. We've broadcast six games now in the first 2 weekends of high school football. But just before you sat down here, the question I had was, pro football, is Tom Brady on a mission?
He's scary. And again, he comes out and the eyes are just steel. He is so focused, and listening to Nitwit Radio, as it has been called, they did come up with an interesting stat that Tom Brady, right now, compared to 2007, is having a better year.
Yeah.
He's actually having a better year this year after the first two games.
Well,
I'm not going to put it any closer because you'll complain about me making noise again. He's statistically better than he was in 2007. 2007, 8 years ago, he is now actually playing better than in that year when they were in the table at 16-0. And he was pissed going into that year, and I think he's even more pissed and this year. And he looks as good. He is as agile, of course, agility has never been a great strength of his, but his ability to read the rush, to shift, to move up, to slide left or right behind his blockers, and buy himself that extra second, he's never been better. Yeah, he got strip sacked the other day. Okay, one play out of 59 throws. Okay, he's waiting, looking, and you know what he was looking for? He was looking for somebody downfield to throw the ball to. And people go, well, they scored off, the opposition scored off of that. Buffalo scored a touchdown, then it made it closer. Well, you know, he could have fumbled early in the game, and they could have scored then, too. All right? But up until that time, he was at perfection. His rating, they were saying that his rating since the second half of the Colts game in the AFC playoffs, the Super Bowl and these two games, his rating is something like 151. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, the needle is buried. Yeah,
he's
buried.
He's thrown for over 1,100 yards. The touchdowns are ridiculous. The interceptions are minimal. I mean, he is personally driving this team.
He's driving the bus. The play of the game, I think, in my eyes, the most amazing play of the game. And it was just one, and I heard him talking earlier today on one of the radio stations on how he never, ever wants to run an offense into a defense that's ready for it. But the play of the game was when it was in the fourth quarter, I think, on that pass to Amendola, who made that unbelievable catch.
Yeah, that was
spectacular. But he put Edelman in motion not to go out in pass protection for a pass, but rather to block the. He knew the blitz was coming from the other side. He told Edelman, go get it. It's like, you've got to be kidding
that's
me.
That's the difference between Brady and Manning. Manning, of course, is very good at reading what's coming up, and that's why he's been able to stand back there so long as well. But that's what makes those guys different. They are so. Their level of preparedness is so ridiculously high that they practice, that they watch what these teams do, and they know where they're going to go, and all he does is, and again, that's all audible. He sees them moving. He's just going to shift over there, and you go over there, and again, and credit to the guys on the team.
Well,
he doesn't have to say, go pick up that guy.
That's what Brady was saying this morning.
You go over there.
He said,
and they know.
He said, I'm surrounded by intelligent players.
And that, I mean, you know, would you think to, you know, if you drafted, Julian Edelman, you draft a quarterback the size of Welker. You know, Belichick had no plans on using him as Kent as a quarterback.
Kent State quarterback.
Okay. But what he saw was a smart, intelligent, athletic young guy the size of Welker, who, if Welker got hurt, could slide into that position. And if you need to throw the ball, he's a guy you can put the ball in his hands, and he should be able to make the pass. But he's a smart kid. He knows how to play. And, again, these guys are so in tune with Brady, and there were some missed throws. There were some throws that he missed yesterday, and there were some throws that those guys draw. He had six drops, but the drops weren't all their fault. He threw one behind Gronkowski, and Gronkowski got sandwiched.
And these,
you know, and you can't leave that big guy out there like that. As tough as he is, he could get hurt. The way he got twisted there, and he bounced back up. It's tough. You can't be perfect on every single pass, and that's what we're so used to seeing from Tom Brady is the consistently high level, putting the ball where it's supposed to be. You know, he on those fourth downs was. The one was just a desperation pass, but the one to him and to Edelman down the middle, he just missed him. He just overthrew it, and he knew it, and he was mad at himself. He wasn't yelling at anybody on the team. He was banging his own helmet, going, "Stupid, stupid, stupid! You know, I just should have taken. Maybe I'll put it a little higher. It'd have fallen down in his arms like two strides, and he had six. That's all he needed.
And three offensive linemen who were rookies.
Yeah, against three All Pros. From the year before.
The quarter billion dollar defensive line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What good to do yesterday, Rex? You gave up 40.
Oh, God.
And we had Brady just where we wanted him. He kept passing. We wanted him to do that.
Did you see Belichick after the game? He was in absolute agony. He's, I've got to do a better get. The coaches were awful. He said, we left plays out on the... He was... God.
But was Paul Ingram not like that? Remember every week we talked to Paul? Oh. Paul, great game, great scheme, but the kids might have... He says, oh, it was ugly. God, what do you mean? You just ran up 40 points on one of the better teams in the league. Now, we missed a lot of blocks, you know. We had draws. We had this. We had that. Coach, you're looking at a totally different game than I'm looking at. I saw a pretty good performance. No, it was off. We got to get better.
All right. We got Gary Larrabee coming up tonight. He'll talk some golf and what is it called? Not the FedEx. What's it called? Some kind of a tournament they're playing with Jason Day in the lead.
Oh, yes. It's the FedEx Championship.
FedEx Championship. All right. We got Sean Terrio, who's the Danvers High School football coach, as the Danvers Falcons victorious over the weekend, as were the Peabody Tanners. And we'll talk with head coach Mark Betancourt. Scott Cooper will be on board in just a while as well. Plus, we've got football coming up this weekend. Lots more football coming up, as a matter of fact. We'll get to that. I should mention right now, but in case I forget, we will have Friday night, Revere at Lynn Classical. Bill Newell, Tim Kearns calling that one. And on Friday night also, I have Beverly at Peabody, but the paper has Peabody at Beverly, so I'm not sure what it is. We'll have to ask Coach Betancourt, and then you can follow up with Coach Bauer. And on Saturday, we'll have Gloucester at Swampscott. Two video games, one from Revere Classical, the other from Gloucester Swampscott. Okay, we'll be back.
Why are you voting for Paul McGeary?
I'm voting for Paul McGeary for mayor because he does his homework and he gets things done.
He's been my city councilor and is always helpful.
He fights for our schools.
Paul helps us support sobriety and combat substance abuse.
He listens.
He'll bring good jobs to Gloucester.
I trust Paul.
I'm Paul McGeary. I'm asking for your vote for mayor on Tuesday, September 29th, and I approve this message.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
The only way to go. All right, Gary Larrabee is with us now. Gary's a sports writer, sports historian, and a golf expert, if you will. And Gary, boy, the sun is setting earlier, but this Jason Day thing, I mean, this has been like two amazing golf seasons this year with Spieth on one end and Day on the other.
perfectly said, Rick, and you took my thunder a little bit because Jason Day is the name of the game right now. He won his second FedEx Cup playoff tournament in 3 weeks. Yesterday outside Chicago, he's won like $6 million the last month and a half, maybe $7 million. He's now number one in the world, number one on the money list. And, of course, with one more big tournament coming up, the finals of the FedEx Cup playoffs this coming week in Atlanta, there's actually some doubt as to whether Jaday, the 28-year-old Australian, he turns 28 in a few days, I believe, or 22-year-old Jordan Spieth, who won the first two majors and almost won the last two majors, will become player of the year.
You know, Gary, it has to have some kind of influence in that voting for player of the year. The way that Day has been, you know, very consistent this year, and especially when it became down to crunch time in the FedEx Cup, to put on the kind of performances that he has. And Spieth has really just fallen back. I mean, he played better in this tournament. But, you know, he's been nowhere in Day's class for, you know, a month and a half, 2 months? And you would think that the player of the year is the guy who finishes the strongest and not the guy that has done well but just fell off when the challenge was in front of him.
Well, thankfully, player of the year voters, both on the PGA Tour, which are the players, and the Golf Writers Association of America, just like elephants, have a very long memory. And the fact remains, Spieth was the man of the year in golf up until Day won the PGA Championship in August. And since that time, he's won three more times, yes, the FedEx Cup playoffs. But, Tim, those events, except for the PGA, these other events he's won, are not majors. And the fact that Spieth won the first two, almost won the next two, I think is going to carry him to Player of the Year honors no matter what Day does this week in Atlanta, even if he wins. I mean, Day can have a lousy week and he'll still win the FedEx Cup playoffs, which means a $10 million additional checks. We're not going to be holding any fundraisers for Jason Day in the foreseeable future, nor for Spieth. But if you have to, you know, break out some Kleenex and start shedding a tear for one of these two guys when the Player of the Year awards come out, I think you'll be shedding a few tears for Jason Day no matter what happens this week.
Should they, Gary, considering that, you know, Day has played so well, once you've got the points, you get the top 100 guys that go into this tournament, everybody starts at zero and you accumulate points from where you stand at the end of each of these tournaments and the leading point getter throughout the tournament, which would make these guys play all four tournaments or five tournaments in order to have a chance at that $10 million.
What tournaments, and that's why they had a break this year after two of those four tournaments. They took a break after 2 weeks to hopefully entice everyone to play, although everyone has not played all four events, and that's their choosing. But the biggest picture issue here is the fact that we have a fantastically exciting and appealing PGA Tour right now. Tiger's going to have a back surgery. He'll come back sometime next year and be whimpering and complaining and making up a million excuses every week when he doesn't win again. But right now, guys, we've got Jason Day, we've got Jordan Spieth, we've got Rory McIlroy, we've got Dustin Johnson. I consider them the big four. And we've got four guys to watch battle it out over hopefully the next several years. And we've had nothing like this really since the big three back in the early 60s with Player, Nicklaus, and Palmer. And now we've got the big four, and Zach Johnson's not too far behind them. He's had a great year. He won the other major. There's a lot to look forward to every week now that the PGA Tour is in action. And, of course, the 2016 PGA Tour, Tim and Rick, starts up in a couple weeks, even though we're still in 2015.
Well, again, the world of golf with the young guys certainly will forebode a lot of quality golf and a young fan base, hopefully, to continue the game. Gary, the other thing that you wanted to talk about was the women's win in the Songheim Cup against Europe and the little controversy that sort of fired up the American girls like the Patriots are fired up.
I'm telling you, these gals have had some near rumbles both 2 years ago and again yesterday when they played over in Germany. And the Europeans blew a big 10-6 lead. That's the magic number, guys, 10-6. That's the deficit that the Americans overcame in the famous 1999 Ryder Cup at Brookline at the Country Club, and that's the same score that the Europeans overcame the Americans a few years back, I think, at Medina. And here it again happened again yesterday. The Americans came back in singles and won almost all the singles on the final day. And the best part of that was at the beginning of the day, they had to play some wrap-up matches that were not completed on Saturday. And there was an apparent gimme or an apparent seated putt. And as soon as the American player, I believe her name is Lee. I'm trying to get her first name escapes me at the moment.
Allison Lee.
She picked up her ball, and all of a sudden, the Europeans who were walking off the green before she even picked it up said, wait a minute, we didn't give you that putt. So she ends up losing the hole. It's a big brouhaha. Lots of nasty things were said, and then it obviously inspired the Americans to come back and pull off a fantastic comeback victory. And, of course, just this afternoon or today, on social media, Suzanne Pettersson, the Swede, who really caused the whole fracas by not giving the putt after Lee had picked up the ball, she had a heartfelt, profuse apology that it was her fault all the way through, and it certainly will mend a few fences, but that's the second time she's been involved with a little bit of controversy with the women's golfers over the years. But most important, the Americans won, and a fantastic final day, and maybe one of these Slim Cups guys will be some fisticuffs between the gals. Wouldn't that be fun? Messi would be in the mud somewhere.
Well, you know, looking through the recap of the match, I mean, they went 9-3 in the 12 singles matches yesterday. I mean, 9 wins out of 12, that's a hefty number of victories.
What the U.S. men did back in 99, I think the Europeans did it, I think it was in Chicago. Let's see, what was that? That would be 4 years ago, I believe, in 2012. But that's there's a lot of great stuff, even though we're into almost October. A very exciting day in golf, and I've got some late-breaking news for you guys, if I can share it with you.
We're waiting with bated breath.
And it's happening right in your own backyard. The second Mass Golf Association Super Senior Amateur Championship is being held today and tomorrow at Bass Rocks Golf Club. And the 2 leaders after the first round, after shooting one over par 70s, are Tom Bergeron, not the Tom Bergeron who's in charge of Dancing with the Stars and used to be in charge of Hollywood Squares. This is a different Tom Bergeron. He plays at a Crump and Fox Club out in Western Mass. He shot 70, so did Doug Crawford from International. The second final round's tomorrow. The best local players in that first round were Chuck Costello from Ferncroft. He's in a tie for 10th at 76. And a little bit further down the line, we got George Scharr from Essex at 78. And one last North Shore player to mention, Rick Lazon from Wenham, is at 80. So it looks like we're not going to have a local winner tomorrow. But it looks like a terrific second run of action right down the street, Rick, from your Seaside Studios.
The proverbial stone's throw, Gary, you are correct. And, Gary, can you tease what's coming up in the Salem News this weekend?
Yes, Rick, it's my boo-hoo, my cry-cry last column of golf column of the year in the Salem News, and we're going to talk about a couple of particular milestones that have been achieved by Dave Marad, who was at Essex for 10 years back in the late 70s and 80s, and a name that's probably more popular and more well-known to your listeners, has been a North Shore guy all his life, a very prominent North Shore golfer, Paul Barkhouse from Lynn. He was at Ferncroft for several years. He and his wife, Nancy, are also reaching a milestone this year. We're going to talk about those milestones and right off into the sunset till the 2016 season kicks in.
All right, Gary. So we'll do it again one more week anyway, right?
That would be nice.
Okay. All right. We'll see you next Monday then, Gary. Thanks.
Take care, guys. Have a good week.
You too, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
Gary Larrabee, sports historian and golf expert. And still to come, we're going to talk with Danvers football coach Sean Terrio next. We'll have Puberty football coach Mark Betancourt on and Scott Cooper in just a while as well. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. Well, you can tell by the music, a little trouble getting through on the phone here for Coach Terrio. We'll give it a shot in just a second again. We're going to take another quick break so that I can regroup, and then we'll try Peabody football coach Mark Betancourt. Again, this is North Shore Sports Night on a Monday night, so we'll be right back. Just please hang with us. Okie dokie.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite, eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
All right, we're back, and so is Peabody football coach Mark Betancourt. Coach, welcome back. Nice win on the weekend.
Thanks. Well, win that our program really needed.
Well, you know, it's high school, and you know, the carryover from one season to the next. I'm not sure you ever really know, Coach. You know, you've been coaching a long time, football and baseball in particular, and is there always a reliability factor when you've got, for example, junior baseball players? And I don't know what got me off on this, but you know what you had coming back this year, and you know, is it always a guarantee that the kids are going to make that step over the off season, you know, to get a little bit better the way you would expect them to?
Well, the only thing that's certain in high school sports is everything is uncertain. You have certain kids that you expect to, you know, mature and get better and you know, establish leadership. And you know, sometimes that happens, and other times it doesn't. Coming into this particular football season, I mean, we knew we graduated all five interior linemen, you know, and so we knew that we were going to suffer some growing pains coming into this season, having, you know, five offensive linemen playing in the first varsity game. We knew we were going to make some mistakes. So going into the Wellesley game, you know, we were excited and enthusiastic about that because of the way the kids had practiced and the way we had played in our scrimmages. But in the back of my mind, I knew, you know, once you get into the lights and, you know, it's a game atmosphere, everything changes. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't matter what sport it is. Any sport you play, when you put a kid out on the field, on the court, on the ice for his first game, there's going to be some butterflies, some jitters. And we definitely saw that in our first game against Wellesley. But, you know, coming out this past Friday night, you know, being at home, a little bit more comfortable, you know, no hour and 45-minute bus ride down to Wellesley. You know, I was hoping that second time out, the kids would play a little bit more confidence and, you know, seeing themselves on film and the mistakes that they made and the work we put in during the week. I was pleasantly surprised by the way they opened up some holes for our running backs on Friday night.
Coach, no one wants to use the travel time as an excuse, but, you know, an hour and 45 minutes down to Wellesley, Friday afternoon, you're stuck in traffic, 128, it's a horror show. You know, it does probably have an impact on the kids and the focus that they have, because they leave school, they're pumped, and then there's that draggy ride, and then you got to get back out, and you got to get back into that focus again. And that lack of focus right at the beginning of the game can hurt you the most, can it?
Absolutely. I mean, and that goes for, you know, any player. You know, I would never use it as an excuse for the reason why we lost. But, I mean, for those kids to play in the first varsity game and, you know, sit on that bus for as long as we did, and like you said, try to get them juiced up again, and, you know, now they go out there and something goes wrong, there's a sense of a panic mode that they go into, and that's natural. I mean, we kind of expect that as coaches, and we tried to. I mean, we didn't get destroyed. I mean, 20-8 isn't a disgrace of a game, but, you know, what we do, you know, the way we had trouble moving the ball was something that's kind of new to us. You know, we're an offense that can move the ball on the ground, and when that kind of didn't happen, you know, you could sense a little bit of panic in the young linemen, and you know, I think that experience did pay dividends this past Friday night, and will continue to pay dividends as these kids get more experience.
You know, certainly playing out of conference, and you chose two big schools to play. Certainly, I think Somerville not in the same class as Wellesley in the quality of the talent on the team. But certainly, it's a challenge to your kids to go up and test themselves in that first game, and then to see where, like you said, where they needed to work, what they needed to improve on, and then come back against Somerville and put that on display as you get ready to go into league play.
And that's what we're trying to build on. What did make me feel better was that Wellesley put a pounding on Framingham, was a pretty good football program. So it's not like, you know, that first loss was to a dud. I mean, they've come out of the gate pretty strong. And what people didn't know about Wellesley, they started out 0-4, and you know, they finished winning five of their last six games. So I mean, they had a bad team, or, you know, we didn't know much about them. With a lot of respect to the Bay State League. You know, it's looking like, you know, maybe Wellesley isn't that bad of a team that we dropped the game to. And we're right back into the fire again. You know, drawing from the experience of Wellesley, you know, the bad times, and drawing from the experience of Somerville, some positive things. You know, running into a Beverly team who was just dismantled a couple of teams here in the early going. You know, we're right back into the, we're out of the frying pan into the fire, going against a real tough Beverly team.
Coach, third year coaching football, I believe, as head coach, and have you got the culture you want there now? What are you most pleased with your team this early on?
Well, the work ethic that the kids are putting in has started to become a standard. You know, when I first started, there were kids missing practice all the time, kids coming late to practice, kids not coming to practice prepared. You know, in my first year, we had to explain things three or four or five different times before things started to make sense. Now we're at the point where we're able to explain something once, and the majority of the kids, at least at the varsity level, are catching on. So you feel like you're making a lot more progress now. We have their attention. They've bought into the program. There is a sense of like urgency when we're talking about something. It's not blown off. It's addressed right then and there, and the kids are handling criticism the right way. They're not hanging their heads. They're looking in our eyes when we're coaching to them. And you feel like when you're talking that they're actually really listening. And you know, again, the quicker we can get these young linemen into a mode where they feel confident, the faster we're going to get back on track to where we want to be.
Well, I want to ask you about Beverly in a minute and the game coming up this week. We're going to be broadcasting that game. But first, in high school, Coach, you know, you've done it for so long now. How do you balance within a practice, within a team, how do you balance competition among the kids and cooperation among the kids?
Well, I think that comes from the individual athletes. I mean, you have some kids that you know they're the second string defensive tackle or the second string tight end, and you know a lot of those kids are friends.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a fine line between being competitive and being a good teammate.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we challenge them in practice, similar to what we do in baseball. The way we practice our JV team with our varsity team in baseball, we do similar things in football. Like today, you know, we had our number one defense going against our number one offense, and we rotate the twos in to the practice so that the varsity coaches are getting a look at them, and they know that's their time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to make an impact, it's got to come in practice. Because, you know, the ones are going to get the opportunity on Friday nights. The twos have to earn their way there.
Mm-hmm.
And the more competitive you can make practice, the harder you're going to see kids work and strive to take that job away from the number one. But when we're away from that, we're doing our individual work, you know, we're on the same team. We're trying to make each other better. And that when you can balance the competitiveness of wanting to beat each other out with the balance of being, you know, teammates and working together to serve a common goal, you kind of found what you're looking for. I've seen that get better and better and better over the 3 years that I've been doing football now, that there's definitely a competitive edge, but it doesn't cross over that line where they're not good teammates to each other.
Well, that's obviously a credit to the coaching staff, because that's not easy to do at any age, never mind with high school kids. Mark, what about Beverly? And first of all, where is the game? Because I see it in both places. Where's your game Friday night?
It'll be at Peabody High School.
It is at Peabody.
On Friday night.
All right, the papers got it wrong then. That's what I thought. All right, so what do you see in this Beverly team? You know, as you said, they've had two pretty big wins.
Well, anytime you look at a team, you look at what you have back for experience. I think in football, experience is probably the most important thing that a team can have, because you don't have nerves. They've done it before. They've run the system in the past. When you know, whenever you have a new coach, you know, Somerville had a new coach. Lynn English has a new coach. Swanson has a new coach. There's got to be a little bit, like when I took over 3 years ago, there's got to be a grace period where a coach has to get a system in. Beverly, I think, is one of the best coaching staffs in the North Shore. Those guys have been around forever with Roger Day running their offense, Coach Bauer running their defense. Those guys have been around the block. You're not going to trick them. You're not going to fool them. They're going to come in very well prepared. So, you know, as a young coaching staff, as me and my staff are, you know, we have to understand that, you know, we're up against some very good coaching. We have to make sure everything we do makes sense so that we can make the proper adjustments to battle whatever these guys are doing. Whenever you have a team that has three running backs returning, in a system like the wing T that they run, you know you're talking about three guys that know where to be. The timing of that offense is going to be very crisp. We have to really focus on doing the best we can to stop them from doing what they want to do. And that's no easy task when you're talking about a team that's returning three running backs.
Yeah,
Beverly had three running backs. I think they had a pretty.
Yeah, we're going to call you back on the other line, Coach.
Yeah, they, you know, you got Madden plowing up the middle from the fullback position. You got Miller, you know, who can get outside. You got Abatey, who can fight outside, and he's catching balls in the flat. That was a big part of their game against Lynn Classical, and I know they did it against Gloucester the other night. And it's just, you know, in the two games, they just gotten on both teams real early and started to put the pressure on them and made them play from behind. And, you know, Gloucester was an experienced team. That they had a big win against Classical the week before, but they just didn't respond. And Classical is kind of transitioning. They've got some good athletes. But, boy, I mean, Beverly was just so more polished and just so much more confident in the way that they played. And you know, the defensive pressure that they brought was just incredible. They've given them 6 points in two games to two good teams.
And that, you know, if you look at the numbers, you know, what they're doing is dominating teams. And as a team coming up to play them, you have to understand that. So, you know, we have to control what we can control. We get the ball on offense. You know, we want to do what we do. We want to try to control the clock. The best defense sometimes is a good offense. The more our offense is on the field, their offense isn't. And that's kind of, you know, when you're game planning, you know, you try to figure out the best way to keep their offense off the field. And for us, we're going to try to do what we normally do. We're going to try to, you know, move the ball on the ground, keep the clock running, and shorten the game. Because as you saw against Gloucester, they're very explosive. I saw an 80-yard run, a 60-yard run, a 40-yard completion. They make some big plays, and they can score quickly. Same thing, you know, the week after that, we got Marblehead. Same thing over there. They're very explosive. Last year's team was very explosive and could score very, very quickly. For us, we're going to slow the game down, shorten the game, and try to control the clock as best we can when we have the ball, and defensively, you know, try to make them do stop what they want to do, make them do what they don't want to do.
All right, Mark, we're going to see you on Friday night. I wonder if I could ask you, when you get your lineup set, if you could email me your lineups and your roster so that I know who the kids are?
Absolutely.
All right, Coach, good luck, great start, and we'll see you Friday night.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach. That is Peabody football coach Mark Betancourt. We're going to take a quick break, come right back with Danvers football coach Sean Terrio. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night. But I've all but just
forgotten what the color of... This is Mayor Safathia Romeo Taken, and I'm running for mayor of Gloucester. I'm so proud to be your mayor. We're bringing Gloucester back together. I want to be elected. In order for me to be elected, I need your vote on September 29th. For me to be on the ballot November 3rd, please don't assume. Go vote September 29th. Since I took over position in January, we have accomplished more than I ever thought we could do. We conquered the winter. We balanced the budget. We brought Gloucester across the bridge to the State House. We ensured heritage and culture and preserved it. We made Gloucester alive this summer. I was born here, lived here all my life. I'm Gloucester, and I want to move Gloucester forward together. So please, vote September 29th and vote Safathia.
Okay, we're back, and Danvers football coach Sean Terrio is joining us now. And let's see, Danvers, I believe, off to a 2-0 start. Do I have that right, coach?
That's correct, yes.
Well, congratulations. Tell us a little bit about how you got to 2-0 already.
Well, first game was Winthrop High School. We won that a couple weeks ago. Pretty good win for us. And then on Saturday night, we just recently beat Linfield.
Now, you know, Linfield was a powerhouse last year, coach, and man, they looked strong. I think they went all the way to the semifinals, and they really had a rather easy time with Winthrop, which surprised me. And as I recall, they have a lot of kids coming back, so that was a pretty good test for you guys.
Oh, absolutely. They were one of the more physical, big. They're probably one of the bigger teams that we'll see all year, you know, for a town that's a smaller town. They have some big, physical, tough kids.
Now, you know, you lost a couple of important guys, but the carryover from Thanksgiving, we were there for that game, and such a huge, huge game for the Danvers Falcons, your seniors and your underclassmen, in beating Gloucester, and was there carryover that into, I want to say, into the offseason, into your workouts and so on, and then when you got to training camp, I know that you don't dwell on one game, but that spirit of knowing, okay, we can do this, did that sort of carry over into the season?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it kind of, gave reason to say, hey, you know what, we want this feeling again. We want to be able to do this again. And, you know, we're going to be willing to work hard to accomplish that again. Because, you know, for the seniors, it was, you know, just a great feeling to leave. And then for all the kids coming back is, you know, something that they wanted to do again.
All right, so how did you do it over your first two teams? What's the strength of your team right now?
Right now we have a lot of speed. You know, we're a pretty tough group, and they're all everyone on the field, including the line, relatively speaking, are quick and aggressive for their position.
You know, coach, the team has been on such an incline over the last couple of years. The confidence level throughout the entire program has to be really, really high at this point, and the kids go into every game believing that not only do they have a chance to win, but they're going to win games.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, the athletic program as a whole has improved greatly over the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, you know, with, all the sports across the board. But particularly football, you know, over the last 3 years has really improved greatly as far as participation and just sort of like a commitment to the program.
You know, certainly with and Danvers, you know, again, has been known for its athletic successes and prowess on so many different fields and pitches and all. Was there a lot of crossover from the other boys' sports into football as kids talked to their friends and said, listen, you can play this. Come out and help us get better?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, a great point. And as far as participation goes, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have a lot of basketball and baseball players on the team, and they definitely want their friends to be part of it. As well as, you know, those teams have been so successful and have such, long playoff runs and have been in such big games that kids that have played those sports, you can see how they just kind of have that winning attitude.
So I take it Mike Nestor will be playing basketball this winter, seeing as he went up and pulled down that Hail Mary?
Yeah, oh yeah, he's a basketball player. You know, he was on that the state championship team last year, and he uses his basketball skills throughout football.
Unbelievable. Who are some of your other leaders, Coach?
Oh, well, Danny Lynch is our running back and safety. He's one of our captains. He always has a great game on both sides of the ball. As well as we have, you know, a group of younger juniors that also have really helped out, like Kieran Moriarty, Dean Borders have done a great job, as well as kids like Tom Dempsey and Marco Lagambina. Those are two seniors, but they've really stepped up this year in their leadership role.
All right, I'm sorry, Coach, go ahead.
Coach, you know, I was just looking at the conference standings and you know, how a year or two can really change things. I'm looking at you and Danvers 2-0.
He is Danvers.
I mean, yeah, I know. But we're going to the other end. Marblehead, Peabody, English, all 1-1. Glasgow, 0-2. And in the South Division, Revere, 2-0 to start the season. Coach Ciccatelli has really got those kids firing up. They had a big win over the weekend. And Winthrop is at the bottom at 0-2. So, I mean, the delicate balance of nature has definitely tipped and sort of inverted here.
Yeah, well, you know, that's kind of like the ebb and flows of high school football. You know, sometimes you get a group of kids for a certain amount of years that, you know, you kind of ride, and, you know, and then you kind of go through a little bit of a rebuilding process. You know, Winthrop, they are young kids, but they certainly are very well coached and play hard. They just, you know, they're just young.
Sean, do you keep one eye on Andover on the weekends?
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said, do you still keep one eye on Andover and see how they make out on the weekends?
Oh, yeah, I'm still friendly with all the coaches over there, so we talk all the time. And young E.J. Perry's lighting it up over there, and he's one of my favorite kids I've ever coached.
Oh, that's nice. We talked to Coach E.J. last week, and that's really great when that happens. Well, Sean, we're moving along here, and the season is rolling right along, and you go into the meat grinder again this weekend with Marblehead coming up. So what do you see from them?
Oh, they're a great team. They're great again. You know, they're not as big. You know, last year they had looked like NFL linemen across the board. But this year their quarterback is excellent. They got probably more skill. They're not quite as big, but they're still fast and physical, and they're still very well coached. They're a really tough test.
All right, Coach, we appreciate it, and we're going to be talking with you from time to time if we can grab you. But in the meantime, congratulations on such a great start, and keep it going.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
Okay, Coach, thanks.
Danvers football coach Sean Terrio, and we did. I did talk with Coach Ciccatelli of Revere via email, and he has a commitment tonight. Otherwise, he would have been on. So they are off to a good start, and we've got them coming up in a couple of weeks on our football broadcast.
Oh, it's next week, isn't it? It's against Lynn Classical Friday night.
You do. You do.
Yeah.
That's right. We're going to be at Revere.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks, but you are correct.
Oh, okay.
Revere.
Yeah.
We will have Revere at Lynn Classical on Friday night. You are correct.
And they have a brand new stadium. Coach was talking about it.
Yep.
So again, I think that has put a jolt of juice into the kids trying to pick up the level of play commensurate with the new stadium they're playing on.
That'll be our video game. We'll also have Beverly at Peabody. I'll be at that one, and I don't know if Coach Ingram will be back or not. And then on Saturday, somebody will be with me at the Swampscott game. It'll be Gloucester at Swampscott. That also will be a video game. To take a quick break, we'll come back. We'll check in with Scott Cooper, see what's happening in the Swampscott Marblehead area, sports-wise, and that'll pretty much take care of it for the evening. It goes by so fast. And first day of fall isn't until Wednesday, believe it or not. I thought it was on the 21st, but I was wrong.
That's okay.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Like my music?
I have Google Chrome. I tried to download it, and actually when I clicked on MSO newsports.com, It comes up in my school Google account.
Well, then maybe you better get out of Google Chrome then.
So, that's kind of weird.
So, go to another browser.
Yeah.
You got some setting off. I have no idea because everybody... This is the easiest dealing we've had right now. MSO Sports... MSONewsports.com. It's newsports or newsports.com.
I like newsports.
We have tons and tons of stuff on there, of course, and... plenty of interviews, brand new program. We have North Shore today, every single day. Bill Newell anchors that for us, and we have plenty of new interviews every single day, plenty of information. We have a brand new program on Fridays called Trending Now with Josh Arnold, as Josh delves into area politics, talks with local officials about all kinds of things. Right now, of course, we're concentrating on the election season, and Josh will have plenty more guests coming up this weekend. What else do we have? North Shore Sports. And we got our live streaming video. Andrew Nicastro at streamography.com has our video broadcast. We have a big screen TV that's dedicated to our Friday night games at Sylvan Street Grill. Ernie Tremblay and his family and staff are just tremendous with us showing those football games. We appreciate that. So you can stop in the Sylvan Street Grill, have a cool one, something to eat, and you can watch high school football on Friday night. And I'm not sure if they're showing our Saturday games or not, but it is available. You can see it there on the big screen TV with our live video. And again, Andrew Nicastro, Alex Sanfilippo do such a great job with the video. It's just amazing that we have this technology now. Lots of fun. So you saw a couple of games. You've seen a bunch of teams. You know, it's funny, Coach. Beverly Gloucester was a heavyweight match for the first quarter, maybe the first half. And then Gloucester looked a little deflated. Beverly just kind of took over control. And, you know, the 35-0 score, a little misleading, but they were dominant for sure. They only got 200 yards of offense, and Gloucester 100 yards of offense. So it wasn't a wide-open game by any means.
Well, I was talking to one of the kids on the football team today, and I said, I looked at him, and he said, I know. And I said, what happened? And you never want to hear a player say this, but he said, we got down two scores. And guys started to hang their
You
head.
Could see it. They got deflated.
They started to hang
they
their head.
They didn't play with spirit.
You know, you don't do that. And I know Coach Zarelli is going to be all over those guys. You know, two scores down, you're in the game.
Absolutely.
The game is not over. You know, you've given up two touchdowns. Go back out there and score one and get yourself
You know what the difference was, Tim? The difference was the kicking game. Madden, you've seen him kick.
Oh, he can kick.
And he just put Gloucester back in their own zone whenever kickoffs and punts, and Gloucester doesn't have that kind of a kicking game. And that's not, you know, that's no disgrace to saying that about Gloucester, because how many people can match up with a kid like Madden in high school?
Yeah, I mean, his kickoffs themselves, I mean, will go to the 10-yard line. And
the 10, they went to the back of the end zone.
Really?
They went out of the ballpark.
Because they had some good wind, because at Classical,
no, they were
he was getting them at the 10 or inside, and it just gives your coverage team such an opportunity to get down under the ball and just stymie any kind of a return effort, especially if you stay in your lanes and you tackle decisively.
Gloucester got back to their 20-yard line one time
on
kickoffs.
Yeah, and you know, you just go, okay.
And that was a difference.
That's
huge
okay.
Difference.
We start here. But, you know, I told the kids when the kids had asked me to scrimmage, you know, I said, I saw Beverly last week and they're tough. He goes, well, who do you think's going to win? I said, the team that wants it more. And frankly, Beverly wanted it more, because if you're hanging your head and you're down only two touchdowns, okay, you don't want it. You don't want it as much as they do. And they're going to keep coming at you, because they're going to see you hanging your head, and that's when you're going to get really clobbered.
A teammate, I guess, can say that, but I wouldn't say that. What I saw was they played flat, particularly in the second half. Especially, they had a long opening drive in the second half. They got inside the Beverly, I don't know, 30 or 25, right from their own end zone practically. A tremendous drive, 13 or 14 plays, and it fizzled. And I think that's where they fell flat, because they were down, I think, was it 21-0 at that point? Or 14-0. I think it was 21-0 at that point at the half. But they still could have come back. And I think Gloucester will regroup. Coach Cirilli and his staff are not going to let them hang their heads very long, Tim.
Oh, no. And especially now you're heading into the end of the season. Okay. You know, this season won't affect the way your postseason goes. But there are lessons to be learned here, not only about playing a tough opponent, but your own psyche.
But they're in Division III, as Beverly is in Division III. So is it possible that whoever it is, whoever finishes first in the South and whoever finishes first in the North, they can play each other somewhere down the road in the playoffs.
Yes. All right. because they'll get based upon
so you it
know,
could be a rematch.
If they both won, they'd be, you know, they both qualify for the pool. If they went out in their whatever local division they're in, like the, you know, the Northeastern North or the Northeast and stuff, they win that. Each of them goes as a representative of that particular division.
Well, we got great games coming up this weekend, to be sure. And again, our video game will be Revere at Lynn Classical. See if the Revere Patriots can keep it going at 2-0. Classical needs to break out, Coach. Heartbreaker for the Rams?
Oh my God. Oh, my God.
30-28 in two overtimes?
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, if anybody heard the broadcast, 30 seconds to go. It's 14-7. We're kind of wrapping things up because there's 30 seconds left. We're going to move on to the next game. And I said, okay, here's the deal for Swampski. They've got to, because there was a punt. They've got to get the ball, get down the length of the field, because it was like 70-plus yards. Then they get down the field, score, kick the extra point just to keep this game going. They get the ball. They get out to the midfield. They get like a 40-yard pass and run play. Next play, they're in the end zone. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yep.
So then we go to the overtime, and Classical scores, Swampski scores. Both two-point conversions. I think they have to go for the 2 points now. And then it flipped. And Swampski went first, scored 2 points. Classical scores, goes for the two. Quarterback keeper up the middle, which they had converted a couple times during the course of the game. The quarterback, Laurier, gets hit about the one-yard line. He spins to try to get in the end zone. Fumbles the ball. He either fumbled or he lost it on the hit or he got ripped out. Ball's into the end zone. Swampski falls on it.
Ooh.
You were that close to
my
keeping
goodness
the game
gracious.
Going.
Yep.
So in double overtime, you know, in the last 30 seconds and in the overtime, Swampski came back and scored 23 points.
Wow.
To take the game away from Classic.
Well, Big Blue's first win, and they've got Gloucester on Saturday. That's our video game, Saturday at noon, I believe. And again, Revere at Lynn Classical on Friday night. Beverly at Peabody, our other broadcast game on Friday night. That'll be on Channel B. Our video game will be on Channel A. That's Revere at Lynn Classical. And very easy to watch on msonewsports.com. All of our stuff is easily watched on devices as well and listened to very, very easy. I forget what that's called. There's a term for that. Anyway, I don't know. Anything else, Coach? We got 60 seconds.
Red Sox win the series against Toronto. You know, if they'd done that earlier in the season.
How about Lavulo? Lavulo.
He steadied a very badly rocking ship in a very rough sea. It's probably going to put a lot of pressure on the management to decide whether to give him an opportunity or to come back with John Farrell. And the odds are you'll lose Lavulo over the offseason to another managerial job with people looking at how he's, again, stabilized that team. And they're playing very well for him.
Might they talk Farrell into some other position, do you think? The Red Sox are pretty loyal to their people.
Given Farrell's condition, and it was no fault of his own, and I think they'd look at it, were they going to make a change at the end of the season as it played out? And then
Everything else changed, I think that's a foregone conclusion.
And do they stick with that decision in light of, you know, John being diagnosed with cancer and recovering well? That's just a tough call. But Dombrowski's on a mission. He's on a mission to turn this team around, and I don't think he will spare anybody, including there's a lot of talk now about Pedroia going up on the auction block in the offseason if they can get a proper deal.
You know, that would be a cold-hearted thing, but it's something that the Patriots would do.
Oh, Bill Belichick has. I mean, and we've seen it time and time again. How can you get rid of this guy? He's playing so well. Bill's philosophy: get rid of him a year earlier rather than a year later.
It's amazing. It's amazing you how know? That has worked out.
So, well, they get. And Pedroia's been hurt the last three or four years. Every single year, he's missed time. He's missed playing time.
But he's the team captain. I don't care.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, that's it for now. Tim, we'll talk to you later on. And Tim Kearns is our co-host. Bill Proposky, our producer and engineer. I'm Rick Moore. Don't forget all of our programming coming up. Check it out on msonewsports.com. And please email us with comments, complaints, suggestions at msonewsports MSONewsports@gmail.com. MSONewsports@gmail.com. See ya.
This is MSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.